Threat Film Radio. One World International Human Rights Documentary Film Festival in Prague, Czech Republic.
Threat Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2018 One World Human Rights International Documentary Film Festival. And I'm very pleased to be joined by Moritz Rizovic. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And you're the co-director with Hans Block.
Right.
Of The Cleaners, which was the opening film, and that was last night. So once again, thank you for joining us. And first of all, how did the screening go?
Actually, fantastic. There were two halls, and both were sold out completely. And what I liked most was that we had such a long Q&A afterwards that the audience was really into it and asking a lot about the backgrounds of the genesis of the project and also kind of discussing ways how to maybe change the impact of social media.
Yeah. Of course, of all, you know, Prague would know about that because of its history, but also I have to say Prague has some amazing film audiences. Just because living here for 2 years, I noticed that for sure. They stay for the end credits, which is amazing to me. But yeah, so just tell our listeners a little bit about the film, maybe you could introduce it for us and tell us what it's about.
It's about a hidden industry in the Philippines where thousands of young Filipinos clean our social media sites from pictures and videos we are not supposed to see. If I say supposed to see, I mean there are both videos which are definitely not worth seeing them, like bad child abuses, beheadings, all kinds of terror propaganda. And I think in these cases, we are quite sure that none of us wants to see it or none of us should. But in other cases, it's also about political content, about controversial content, where they are literally taking decisions about whom to silence in political conflicts, and they take these decisions within seconds. So our film is about the impact of these decisions the young Filipinos take and how these can influence political political conflicts around the world and can really literally split societies.
Yeah. Well, isn't it interesting that it, of all places, the Philippines would be the place where something like this is run?
It's not the only place in the world, but it's really like the hotspot for this industry. And none of them are, they are not allowed to talk to anybody about what they do. They sign non-disclosure agreements. They use code words instead of the actual name of Facebook or YouTube so that the companies make sure that nobody will know about this work, because as soon as people start thinking about it, and we hope that now they do, the audience, the public, they will recognize that all the responsibility is not really taken serious here, and that it's outsourced instead of being treated the way it should be treated, and it should be organized democratically. You know, we are so worried about our democracy in the analog world, so why aren't we in the digital world? And I think now we want to establish a debate about how we can change that.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think we're not so concerned with the digital world? Is it because it's relatively new and we're just not familiar with something?
Yeah, I guess so. I think we sometimes compare it with the Industrial Revolution, and it took time before the companies were regulated in the way they treated the workers and so on. But also, like with all the inventions, it takes some time to realize what it is, what we have. And now we have nothing else than the new digital public sphere, represented by a few companies based in the Silicon Valley. And we can't just outsource all our responsibility to them and then they outsource it again to some others in the Philippines. We need to organize it democratically. We need to found new institutions for the online world, like courts. We need lawyers. We need editors. We need to maybe even invent new functions, new work, new institutions we haven't ever had in the analog world. And we need to be creative as a society. First of all, we need to acknowledge what we have there and we need to become aware about all the impact of these social media sites on our also analog societies.
That's very fascinating and certainly worth talking about, because we spend so much time in the digital world that, you know, it's strange that we don't talk about it as much. But just on a personal level, why did you embark on this journey? Why did you want to tell this story?
Because we use it every day. All of us, or almost all of us, are users of Facebook or YouTube or Twitter. And I think most of us have never thought about why it is actually quite clean compared to other parts of the internet. But on the other hand, we've never thought about what we don't see. So which pictures are taken off the internet before we ever see them, and which groups are silenced. And if they don't have any lobby, we would never notice that they are silenced. They are just like wiped away within seconds, and nobody cares. We should really be worried about that fact, because if somebody doesn't become visible, or his or her content doesn't become visible in the online world, this can mean he or she literally doesn't exist, or this group doesn't exist in political conflicts. And on the other hand, if they don't take off pictures or videos which can spread hatred in a dimension we've never had before, like in Myanmar, for example, we see that Facebook has become the only media which is used by everybody. So this means if, like it happens there, hatred is spreading and hatred is distributed by these platforms, this can literally amplify something like the genocide, what we experienced there, that a whole group of the society is forced to leave the country, to flee to Bangladesh, like we live, like we experience it there. Or like in the US, where hatred against minorities is spreading and the society is already completely split, and we experience something like a civil war in some areas. So it's not only about cat videos anymore. It's not only about holiday pictures. What we have there is kind of, in one press review, it was called the Frankenstein's monster. Yeah. And it can develop to be something like that if we don't care about it.
Well, speaking about the insight that you were able to get in this documentary, I'm sure it must have been quite challenging to get such access, right?
Definitely, because the whole companies of the Silicon Valley, they are completely, it's a code of silence, actually, around these companies. None of them responded to our requests for months, and even now that the film is published and we send a DVD to them, no response at all. So they still hope that they can just be passive and wait for the wave to be over. We won't let them.
And do you expect some backlash?
Yeah, I'm quite sure that this will change a lot in around Silicon Valley, because we have already experienced that. One of our protagonists in the film, our commentator, Tristan Harris, a former design ethicist for Google, he's not alone in saying he really regrets what they have built, and he recognizes the huge impact on not only the American society, but societies around the world and on democracies. And he says it's actually in the DNA of these platforms that they not only seek attention, but by seeking attention and concentrating on seeking attention, they seek the most extreme content, because this is what pays best. This is what gets the most number of shares, of comments, of likes. And so it's actually designed the way to attract the most extreme content. So it's no coincidence. It's no mistake or incident that such a wave of hatred and aggression and so on is uploaded there. It's actually attracted by the companies themselves, and they need to take the responsibility for that. And there is a group of 20 to 30 people around him, former employees of these companies, high positioned, who think the same way. And so we are quite sure that also without our film, we can start a debate around them, which will then definitely make us rethink of how these platforms should be organized, who should control the digital public sphere, and if we really still want to outsource this to Silicon Valley.
So one of the ways in which you are going to try to create a dialogue around this is to by screening the film at around the world. But I'm also curious as to how you will, or whether you're thinking that once the film does get online, it might be censored in some way, or have you thought about it?
It's a difficult question, of course, you're right, because there are some moments in the film where we needed to show some of the pictures we are talking about, or some of the it was like a still of a video, because the audience needed to know what it's about, what we are talking about, and the scale of what we are talking about. We are really literally talking about the most horrible content you could ever imagine, and it's really horrifying. Even if the content moderators only tell about the videos which are stuck in their mind, sometimes they will never be able to forget about them. They don't have any psychological support to deal with it. It's a psychologist told us that what these workers have to take, it's actually comparable to soldiers who come back from war, like the post-traumatic stress disorder, which we know from soldiers coming back from Iraq or Syria. This is actually, in terms of symptoms, it's nothing else than what they, the content moderators in Manila experience, because they can't escape from their work either. They have to take all the stuff on them on a daily basis, and because they need to, in a lot of cases, they need to finance their families. Compared to other dirt jobs in the analog world, they sometimes they feel lucky that they got a job like this, working for a prestigious company, and so on. So they feel like they can't escape, and they by the contracts they signed, they are not allowed to talk to anybody about what they experience in their work. So they have to figure out how to deal with all the trauma on their own. So in a lot of cases, this causes that they change the whole perception of the world, that they feel like every human being is a monster, that colleagues are monsters. They become very sexual in their perception of the world. One of the content moderators told us she actually scans the whole environment always on dicks and breasts now. And so it's maybe not that obvious what this work causes, but it's in a lot of cases really highly traumatizing and highly... It has a huge impact on the workers, and in some cases it even leads to suicide.
Well, that's fascinating, and there's plenty to talk about. I'm sure that people are going to be talking about your documentary and what its subject is. In the meantime, I thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.